God's wonderful. Isn't the Lord wonderful? I thank God for this privilege. I never enter this pulpit without greatly considering, wanting to know that before I stand here, that truly I've taken the time and the effort to meet with God in His Word and ask God to speak to me. And I've spent time with the Lord, and I'm here today to share with you from the Word of God, and I give you what I feel like is the message that God has laid on my heart. Over a month ago, God, one afternoon here on campus, I had a little time, and I decided I was going to spend that time, since no one was in the office, and I had caught up on things, I was going to spend that time in the Word of God, and just praying and meeting with the Lord. It was one of those unexpected opportunities, and so I just closed the door in the office where I was, and for the afternoon, I opened the Word of God, and God began to deal with my heart. This was, six weeks ago, and God dealt with my heart about a message. I didn't know I was going to be speaking here today, and when I finished that message, I wrote it on a piece of paper and wrote all the scriptures out that God had dealt with my heart, and then went back and rewrote those scriptures a little bit clearer, because when the Lord was dealing with my heart, I wrote them out very quickly. And I took that message and folded it and stuck it in my Bible. And then this past week, I found out that I was going to preach in chapel, and I bowed my knee before the Lord and began to seek the Lord. For it wasn't a long time to prepare for what I feel like is to preach in this chapel to you. And God began to deal with my heart about the scriptures again, and then it hit my mind that He had prepared my heart. And I took those scriptures out and began to prepare what I felt like, and God has certainly ministered in a great way to me from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 14th verse. While you're turning to Genesis 18 and 14, it's always good to be here and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And I hear so many introduced individuals that are here, and I want to introduce someone special to you this morning that's come to hear me preach. Sweetheart, this is my lovely wife, and if there was no one else here at all, I'm glad she's here. Stand up, sweetheart. She didn't know I was going to do that. I'll get it when this chapel's over. A great big hug and kiss. Why do you think I did it? No. I better get to what the Lord wants me to preach about and quit meddling. Yes. But of all the people that I had rather be in my audience, if there was no one else here, I'd rather that she be here. Thank God. Thank God when He pairs you with the companion, and you let God pair you with the companion that will be your strength for the rest of your life. She's not a liability to me. Absolutely in no way. She's my strength. And so I thank the Lord for that. Genesis, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read verses 7 through 14. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took the butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. As you probably figured out, I'm reading from King James Version here. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then this is my text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for God? We bow our head, Lord, and we ask you, minister now. Lord, we ask that my mind and my thoughts not be mine, nor my words be the feeble words of man, but they be the Spirit of God which speaks to hearts and lives and moves us to that place that can make us to have the confidence in you that we need to have. Minister to us now according to your will, and we'll praise you for it. And everyone said, amen. I have several scriptures that I'm going to be using. Three very simple thoughts. Is there anything too hard? And the thought is, first thought, nothing is too hard. And the word hard, Jeremiah 32:17. And then Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 26th verse says, all things are possible. All things. You know, this was Jesus speaking. And then in Luke, the first chapter and the 37th verse, it says, nothing is impossible or shall be impossible with God. And those are the three thoughts, that nothing too hard, all things are possible, and that there is nothing that shall be impossible with God. As I look back over 30 years of ministry, from the time I was a young man in college and accepted the call to preach in my freshman year of college, God took me to a liberal arts college. I believe it was the hand of God. It was there that I met, while I was at college, I met my wife. It was there that I accepted the call to preach. It was there that I prepared in the field, knowing that God had called me to preach, and yet I prepared in the area of education and physical education, and often wondered, why, what am I preparing in physical education for if I'm going to be a preacher? Why do I need this? And something in my voice kept telling me, you hold steady before God. Just hold steady. And I went on preparing, knowing without any doubt in my heart that I was going to be a preacher, a minister. And yet, year after year, I prepared to be and work in the area of physical education, not knowing that within just a few years, I did not even know the name Central Bible College existed. Grew up in a church in Missouri and had never heard the name Central Bible. I didn't know there was a school here. Never realized it. Did not know there was a school here until I was already in my ministry, a youth minister in Memphis with Brother Hamill, and God began to deal with my heart, and the opportunity became available for me to come to this college and to start ministering. We felt it was the step that God was going to use us to take us eventually to the mission field, and we were turned down twice by the mission board when we tried to submit ourselves as to be missionaries with four children in the field we wanted to go. And they turned us down and discouraged us. A very wise individual ministered to us in those early days as we were fairly disappointed, and said, Forrest, I believe God has brought you to the mission field he wants you to minister at, and you should consider that right here on this campus. And in 1958, when God brought us here, and the years before that, 30 years, why, little did I know that God was preparing, how God was preparing young people. Don't think, God, that you know exactly the way you need to be prepared. Be open to what God wants to do. Who knows the direction that God's going to take your life? Oh, God, help us if we so close ourselves off. If I'd have said, no, I'm not going there, and went somewhere else, I'd have never had the degree and the education for what this school needed for me to come. It would have been somewhere else. But they needed me in the area that I had the degree in. And all those years that I thought I was wasting things, it turns out to be that's what God was going to be using. He was going to make that possible for me to minister. Through 30 years of following the Lord, I've seen every kind of difficulty that I thought has been impossible. I've seen spiritual people I thought were so spiritually off and spiritually gone that it was impossible to bring them back from the situation. We've heard the request. I listened carefully with the request. Physical needs that seemed impossible, unoperable, inoperable situations, impossible. Medical science to say it's impossible, we can't do anything. I've seen mental cases. I've gone into the mental ward to visit there with individuals in various states that there was no way to reach them at all, and to hear the therapist that was there saying, Mr. Arnold or Reverend Arnold, they don't understand what you're saying. This is an impossible case. Impossible. Social people we've met socially, some that have come through here that almost seem to be social misfits. And you wonder, how is God going to use that person? They don't seem to fit in anywhere. Impossible. And then we've looked and seen educationally those students that have come through this school in 25 years that felt like they were so prepared. Maybe those that have been out of school a number of years, those that felt like they did so poorly in high school, whose grades were so bad, who struggled educationally, and they've come, and I've heard student after student say, Brother Arnold, it's just almost impossible. I just can't get it. And I've seen those that were having such, had learning disabilities, actual disabilities, and you wonder how it's not possible that they make it physically or educationally. I know you've seen them. I've seen churches with problems that were so hurting and splits, and people that had done such things to each other within the church that you thought the situation was impossible. And I've heard that, I've heard individuals say, that place over there, stay shy of it because it's an impossible situation. And financially, those have come through this school that have found themselves in the place they say it's impossible for me to come back. It's impossible for me to go on. I'm not going to be able to do it. It was impossible. I've seen those times in our life that we felt like it was impossible. We've been told it's impossible. It can't be done. We felt like financially it was impossible that we do certain things. Only some way, somehow, to have the hand of God come in upon the situation and begin to take hold of that circumstance that was impossible. And I don't know how that it worked out, but it was possible. You see, there's one thing that man fails to take into account, and that is that we have a God who does the impossible. Oh, don't sell yourself short when it comes to God answering your prayers and meeting your needs. For the God that I serve is a God that asked the question of Abraham. In fact, he was interpreting Abraham's heart and Sarah's. When he said, is anything too hard for God? All he was doing was putting in words what they were feeling. Sarah's old. And Sarah laughed and she said, am I now to have the pleasure of having this child that I have been promised all of these years when I'm old? When it's absolutely impossible. And you know the story. Is anything too hard for God? And the lineage was started when Sarah was far, far up in years, well, far past the barren years. And one statement comes out of that. My thesis statement, you can trust God. That's what this whole basis of everything that I'm going to try to say to you today. And minister, you can trust God. If there's one thesis statement of this whole message is, young man, young lady, individual that's in this place today, you can trust God. I don't care. I'm not talking about when the thing works out. I'm not talking about if it works out. I'm saying right now, today, right where you are, you can trust God right now. We don't have to wait until after the fact. We can trust God before it works out. We can trust God. You can trust God. I can trust God. There's one thing that my ministry has taught me is not to trust the circumstances, but to trust God. I don't always know how there's going to be gas in the car, but thanks be to God, He does. You see, it's Him that I'm trusting. I believe our faculty are at this school because they're trusting God. I believe that you're at this school because you're trusting God. And God will help you to finish what He's called you to do because you can trust God. But it takes trusting Him. Why? Jeremiah 32, 17. Jeremiah was in jail. While he was in jail, in prison, he was put in prison because he had prophesied something that Zedekiah the king didn't like. He had prophesied the truth. He had given the word of God. And because he had been truthful and given the word of God, he was thrown in prison. And while he was in prison, he wrote these words. Ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Not too hard for God. A.B. Simpson, great Presbyterian pastor, was in prison. His imprisonment was the imprisonment of his body. And so that I would make sure that I gave you this thing, I wrote a little paragraph out of the story about A.B. Simpson. And I want to read it to you. The pastor was approaching middle age. He was broken in health and deeply despondent and ready to quit the ministry. I'm going to read it by chance. I don't believe there's chances with God. I believe that it would have been a much better statement of here if they had put by appointment. He happened to hear a simple Negro spiritual. The words were, nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like Him. Its message went like an arrow to his heart. It carried faith, hope, and life for body and soul. He immediately sought a place to pray. And after a season alone with God, he arose to his feet completely healed. And he went forth in the fullness of joy to found what has since become one of the largest and the greatest foreign missionary societies in the world today. For the next 35 years, he labored endlessly in the service of Christ. His faith in God's limitless power gave him all the strength that he needed to carry on. Hard, I looked up the word hard in the dictionary. Difficult of accomplishment. Troublesome. Is anything too difficult for God? A.B. Simpson, when he was a prisoner, he could say like Jeremiah, ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Our Lord's words in Matthew, the 19th chapter, in the 26th verse says, all things are possible with God. You know, the young man came to Jesus wanting eternal life, and the disciples heard the conversation. And finally, he went away sad, as Matthew records, sorrowful and sad, because he had great possessions, great things, And he just couldn't do it God's way. And Jesus gives a clue here to having great riches come into our life. And these are the words of the Lord. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, according to the King James Version here, than for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God. Great possessions and great things oftentimes cause people to want to go their way rather than God's way, depending on things rather than God. And the disciples said, Lord, it's almost impossible, then who can be saved? And then the Lord gives a marvelous clue here, though he doesn't rule out anyone with riches. He says, what is impossible with man? These may be impossible with man. But he says, but all things with God are possible. I looked up the word all. It said any, whatever, beyond all doubt. Beyond all doubt, any, whatever. Beyond all doubt. The Lord was saying, I don't care. You're saying what direction? Any direction. Whatever it is. Beyond all doubt, all things are possible. I don't know how to get much more explicit in saying whatever it is, all things. It's possible when you bring it to him. It's possible. My wife called me in the middle of the night. Our youngest daughter was in the hospital. She was dying. We'd been here at school. I was going to tell you a different point right here, and I feel led just to tell this one. She'd call me in the middle of the night. Didn't have a phone. Our neighbor came over and got me and said, Brother Arnold, your child has taken a great turn for the worst. Your wife wants you to come to the hospital immediately. The doctor's there. Our baby was a year and a half old. Our youngest daughter. And she said, it's bad. Get to the hospital as quick as you can. Our neighbor stayed with her other three children, and I ran out about 3 o'clock or so in the morning. And I climbed into the old automobile. I started to get in. It was April. Chilly morning. A young person like it was yesterday. I remember when I grabbed hold of the handle of the door and I realized, oh God, I'm right now in a crisis situation. And I looked up at the heaven. And the sky was just a darkish, bright. The stars were shining. Chilly, and I put my hand on top of the car. And I looked up and said, oh, God, help me and help my baby. I got in the car. I couldn't say much else and went to the hospital, and I met Virginia. She was outside the door. And before we walked into the room, our little girl was in an oxygen tent. You could hear her gasping. The nurse was beside the bed monitoring every instant. The doctor was down the hall. Laying down, he was spending the night right by our room, down the hall. And she looked at me, and she'd been crying, and she said, Forrest, they said Kathy's going to die before morning. I said, I didn't want to be here alone. And she broke down. And I started to comfort her, and she said, wait a minute. While I was waiting for you to come, God spoke to me. And she said, he's given me a verse of scripture. And she opened up the scripture and she read, and I'll paraphrase, and though you go through the waters, they'll not overflow you. And though you go through the fire, you'll not be burned. And she said, God gave me this, and I interpreted it. And I said, I know it. Sweetheart, I said, if God takes Kathy tonight or this morning, it's not going to consume us. And if God takes it, he's not going to let the grief and the heartache of it overflow, overcome us. We'll still be able to go on. And I want you to know that night I went there to be with my wife while we both thought a child was dying. But God had other plans. And while we stood by that bed, I asked the nurse if I could pray. We decided what we were going to pray. I knew this may be the last prayer I'd ever pray with this baby. And so before we went in, we talked about it, and we decided what we were going to pray. And we decided on the prayer, and I walked in, and the nurse was sitting right where I wanted to be. And I said, "Nurse, can I get there? I couldn't get any, this thing was in a tent over her, and I couldn't get to my baby. I wanted to touch her." And finally, the nurse said, "It's fine, Reverend," said, "Mr. Arnold, whatever you want." And she moved, and I sat down in a chair, and Virginia stood beside me, and I've never forgotten what we did. I reached through that little, they only had an opening there, and I reached through that opening in that little tent, laid my hand on this little girl who had already was unconscious. Her eyes were rolled back. She was gasping, and her lungs was filling up with a fluid. And I've never forgotten that we wept for just a moment, and then we said these words, and I'll paraphrase again, but this was the thought: "Lord, you gave us this baby, and now we want you to know something. If you take Kathy away from us tonight, if you take her tonight, we want you to know we're still yet going to follow you. We haven't started to quit anywhere. We're still going to follow you, Lord. And now we give her to you, Father." And we literally gave our year and a half old child, as we thought she was dying, back to God. We got up and we went over and sat on the bed. Nurse got back beside her. And I'll make a long story short, the next morning as the doctor was walking down the hall, he spent the night there, he was reading the chart, and the nurse was outside coming down. I was standing in the doorway, and the nurse was going yak, 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 as they were walking towards our room, because he left the orders, if the change for the worst came, come and get him. No change for the worst happened. And when he stepped to the door of that room, there sat our year and a half year old daughter on the floor playing. She didn't die. God had other plans for us. God had other plans. Listen, I became the proud father the day that she walked on this campus as a student and chose as her mate one of the young men that walked across this campus to be her mate for life. And they're young ministers in the ministry today. You think God doesn't know where you are? You see, God, the Lord said, all things are possible. My nothing, nothing. And then I want to close with the thought, one more, that with God, that Luke, the first chapter in the 37th verse, says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And the word nothing says, not any being. Our existence, also not anything, act or event. Anything, any existence, any act or any event. Nothing is impossible with God. I was talking about my wife, with my wife, about being here, the number of years we have, and I thought, you know who said those words to Mary? The archangel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Mary, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing." And you know what the event was, the birth of Jesus. But it was more than just a message to her. It was a message about God. And if we had asked that archangel, what kind of witness was that? What kind of testimony? The person making the testimony in a court of law is as important as the testimony. They want to know, what type of credibility does this person have that's making this witness? And I want you to know, the one that stood there was the archangel Gabriel that was talking about God. He was saying nothing. He was saying, "Mary, the God that I serve as the archangel of heaven, nothing's impossible with him. Nothing." And if we had him as a witness here today and reminding this class, Gabriel, can you tell us how is God's power limited? And he would again be able to tell us, nothing, young man, nothing, young lady, is impossible with God. I went back over, something spoke to my heart. Virginia and I began to talk, and she said, "You want to know something, Forrest? The cups bear record of the marvelous, powerful working of God. And I thought about it a moment. I'd been talking about students through these past years that impossible situations, and God took them through. I went out Saturday. I gathered up all my cups. I piled them up in my living room. And Saturday afternoon, I opened the pages of cup after cup, every single one I had. It took me several hours. I passed none of them by. And I thumbed through the pages and looked at some of the total classes, every graduating class I looked at. I looked at other classes through here. And God began to speak to my heart about the past 25 years or so of a miracle here, of the impossible, something that was too hard there, something that was miraculous there. And all of a sudden I realized I could become a witness. Like Gabriel to Mary, let me stand before you before I'm done today and tell you as a witness, I can tell you. There have been those students in the past that have come in and said, oh, coach, it's impossible. I've seen in situations with students that it said it's impossible to get under it, around it, over it, or through it. I just can't. It can't be done. I can't make it. Only to see the power of God enter the scene, and they make it. They make it year after year after year after year. For over 25 years, I've watched graduate, I've watched student walk through the halls of this campus, and they made it. And they're all over the world today ministering for the Lord because He's an impossible working God. And I'm done. But can I tell you, I had my picture made last Thursday, and God ministered to my heart. I felt like it was a prophetic ministry that I tell you, as the angel told Mary, you're going to give birth. I want to tell you, you can trust God, and He's going to bring it to pass. You're going to finish that which God has called you to do. You're going to finish that God has called you to do. Why? You can trust God. For young man, young woman, there's nothing too hard for God. Thank you, dear.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.